Hello and welcome to Why Is Harriet Crying? Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you want the podcast to be weekly, you can join us on Patreon.
Yeah, so if you join us on Patreon, that means you get an extra episode every other week. So that gives you 4 episodes a month.
Yeah.
Well, one every week, you know what I mean.
They know what you mean. Yeah. And it's only, I think the bottom tier is £3.60. And we'd really appreciate it. It means we can keep the podcast going. And it means I will cry less.
I hope not. We need her to keep crying for this podcast to keep going. So it's a balancing act between you giving us a bit of cash to help us keep it going and Harriet keeping on crying. So
I'll be able to afford tissues this way, though, so it'll make it easier.
It's a tissue game.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Please welcome. Oh, I said please welcome. Wait, what do I say?
Please welcome.
Please welcome to the stage, Sunil Patel. I started talking. It didn't make any sense.
Very nice to be here.
Let's start again.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
just to clarify, when do I? Not because I want to, but when do I talk?
We'll introduce you at the beginning.
So do I just look interested up until that point?
We're literally going to introduce you as well. So
just pretend that you're listening.
I was actually.
You're in the frame of the shot, so you're always.
So you're
I was listening, but I know. But I thought I was in the frame shot, and I didn't want it to look like I was bored.
Please welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast. It's the podcast you've all been waiting for. it's Richard Todd this episode on the podcast with me, Sunil Patel, Harriet Kemsley, and Richard Todd over there.
There he is. Welcome to Why Is Harriet Crying?
If you're just listening and not seeing it, he's over there.
You should have offered more detail there. Like, he's just waved.
He's to my left.
Because saying over there doesn't mean anything to them.
We've had to shift him around because
he's got one
deaf ear. How'd you get that deaf ear?
Well, I think it's because my mum used to like cleaning them with cotton buds.
Oh, well,
that's true. And she used to grab my head and put the cotton buds in, and I'd squirm and then scream like, ah! And then she'd say, well, it will hurt if you keep moving, Richard.
What was she trying to do?
The thing with my mum is she's lovely, because that makes her sound like she's not lovely. She wouldn't hurt.
She just wanted to have clean ears. I get it.
I think she just liked hygiene.
But so she burst the eardrum, maybe?
The eardrum was burst. We don't know. It's not confirmed.
I
shouldn't have started with that because it seems to be
I forgot to say who you are.
Yes, well, I think that's given all the information we need, personally. I think that really sums Richard up. Yeah.
An ambassador for men who've lost their hearing.
Yes,
the thing is, there is comedians who are ambassadors for deaf.
Oh yeah, Ishan is, isn't he?
Yeah. But I find that strange because he's not actually deaf.
He's got an aid.
Yeah, I know, but you couldn't. You've got glasses, but you couldn't be an ambassador for people who are blind.
You're absolutely right.
You should.
I don't know how to represent that.
I don't know what the complaining is about. You just put glasses on. It's fine.
Don't be. You could be an ambassador for.
I don't think anyone wants me as an ambassador for anything.
I think you should have less hair. If you can't hear out of your ear, you should have less hair on it because you'll be able to hear more.
I've actually got hair in my ear.
You should get rid of that as well.
That might be the problem.
If you've got your hair, it's too hairy, it can't get through. Would you put a hearing aid in?
I really wouldn't want to.
It's vanity, though.
But your hair covers everything.
Yeah. It's quite strange because glasses have become like a fashion thing.
Yeah. Wow, that was a real expression.
Why did you take glasses off as soon as
I've got an eyelash.
He doesn't want to be part of fashion. He's different.
He's count.
MC Hammer started that, didn't he? Wearing glasses without actual prescription lenses in them.
I found that so annoying.
Why? It just really makes me want to poke people in the eye. If there isn't glass, it makes me want to poke them. There was glass there, but it wasn't prescription lenses.
But I just think... I met our friend Gary.
I was just thinking about Gary because he wears glasses.
I saw him and he said, are you... He's quite an audacious dresser.
Yeah.
And he said he had glasses on. And I said, I didn't know you wear glasses. And he went, oh, I don't. There's no lenses in. Yeah. And I just want to poke your eyes out now.
No, but she would have poked the eye.
I wouldn't have been able to stop because she I just want to. It just makes me want to poke.
Because it's a tarnish.
I find it a weird thing because you see, this is the thing. This is why it's cool to wear glasses, and you wouldn't, because no one would walk around with a hearing aid and someone would say, "Are you deaf?" And you'd say, "No, I just like wearing them."
Yeah.
Because they don't that look cool. True.
But hearing aids are made to be hidden and invisible, whereas glasses are not all much of them. The first they thing used you to be about someone's
trumpets,
face.
Didn't they?
They used to be trumpets.
You should bring that back. Like it'd be like a great aunt kind of thing where they put a trumpet in their ear.
Richard's a comedian, by the way.
If you always confused.
Didn't you do a flyer when we did like a show?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah.
You did a flyer with an ear trumpet on it.
No, he had his head was entirely
his head
was
entirely made of trumpets. Yes.
And honestly, walk-up sales were pretty low on that show.
Was on a double-decker bus, mate.
It was on a double-decker bus and it was free.
At 12 o'clock.
Yeah, 12 o'clock on a
and
bus.
Rarely. And we come home.
During
the
Olympics.
True.
During the 2012 Olympics.
Yeah, you couldn't compete with that.
Were you there as well?
What? With the Olympics?
Yeah, I was there as well.
Were you?
Doing a different show.
She was doing a different show. She wasn't doing a bus show.
No. And then I did a show with Richard, and every time I'd ask people for money as before they left, and then they'd get to the door, and Richard would tell them to put the money back.
Why, Richard?
Reverse psychology.
Give them the money back.
At Richard
like,
Todd,
we need that money to live.
Possibly the least bright business mind in comedy.
I'd plan to put a third person with another bucket just outside the building saying, put some money in. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's what Mark Silcox does that, doesn't he? If anyone gives him money at the end of his show, he refuses to, he gives it back.
I like that. If someone went, why are you doing
yeah,
that?
But Mark,
like, that would
yeah.
be,
Mark's not doing it for a living.
No, true.
He's an IT consultant.
Whereas we were attempting to be professional at it. And, you know.
Well, two of us... One of us succeeded, one of us came close, and one of us failed miserably. I wonder which one is. I don't think it's hard to put them in order. Yeah. But, all right. I'm obviously the last one. Well, you could put it differently. One of us preserved their artistic integrity.
Yes, one of us didn't give in.
Totally sold
one
out.
Of us.
So yes. One of us
sold out.
Okay, well, one of us sold out. One of us never had any integrity to sell.
That's
you as well.
You just waved. No, it's you.
She does have integrity.
I didn't know
I
we were.
Thank
I didn't
you.
Know we were ever aiming for artistic integrity.
I was.
Were you?
Yeah, that's
it wasn't
I don't
clear. You should have made
it
clear.
It wasn't clear at all.
No.
I know it's because of my voice. Will
and the things you say.
And the words. but deep in my mind.
You're an artist.
It's my lack of promotion that's like self-promotion.
And you do drawings as well, so you are an artist.
You're literally an artist.
An actual artist if you do drawings.
And I've actually got a history of like, I mean, I'm on my work. Well, not my work, someone else's work, but I helped colour it in. Is on platforms and walls around Glasgow.
Oh, really?
Who's what that? Children's
the mural painter, Alistair.
Oh, Bill. Yeah.
Oh, he died recently, didn't he?
Yeah.
Why is that funny? Why is that?
I don't know. I felt like Sunil was going to follow up with another question.
No, I can't remember when he was. It was it. How recent was it?
It was the year just. Earlier this year.
Oh, right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
was he,
was
he your mentor or your...
No, well, not really, but I think...
you worked as his assistant.
For 10 years, I was like his apprentice.
Were you?
Yeah.
So by definition, he was your mentor. If you're, he's your...
Oh,
if
he's offering guidelines.
You're the,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think mentors often work. I just... Like, you know the homeless people I work with.
Yeah.
I do many things.
for money.
A man with many
a
hats.
Lot of them have mentors.
Yeah.
It does not work well.
Mentors, in what sense? What do they mentor them in?
Not
being
coming
homeless.
Off drugs and things.
Oh, right. Okay, so like AA sponsors and stuff.
Yes.
And that doesn't work.
Well, one of them's quite sweet, and she says she's been reading a lot of Dan Brown novels.
Mm.
But her mentors told her to remember it's all lies. so whenever she's telling me or her friends about Dan Brown, she says, I just have to remember, though, when I get carried away, it's all lies. And I tell them, don't listen to what I'm saying. It's all lies. She's lovely.
What an interesting thing to tell yourself throughout reading a novel.
Or throughout talking to someone. Oh, right, everything I say is all lies. But I like her. She's very nice. She's the one who, when coronavirus kicked off,
the season started.
In March. In March, before everything locked down, shut down and everyone was like, what's going to happen? She said to me, a few people in the place I work were getting a bit testy and anxious. Because I work with a lot of people with mental health, vulnerable people. And she said, Richard, the people are getting uneasy, so we need to think of a different word that we can, instead of coronavirus, to talk to it as a, like a code word.
Yeah.
And she said, what can we use? And I said, what do you recommend? And she said, bagel. And then she came up to me and said, Richard, so a lot of people are getting a little bit upset about Corona bagel.
Yeah, do watch out for Corona bagel.
Really good subterfuge there.
I did think afterwards, like, you kept in the keyword. And I thought also, because we also serve a lot of bagels at breakfast and things, and I thought, anything, this is just creating a new worry in the room if anyone hears that the bagels are potentially...
You don't want to lose confidence in bagels above all else.
But anyway, she's really nice. Nice lady. She gave me a present because she said I was inspiring. It was the present was quite funny. It had a really... I kept the packaging more than I wanted to keep the present because the packaging had, like, she'd written this really lovely message on it. But inside she'd given me PJ Duncan's autobiography. Aranton Dex.
PJ and Duncan.
Yeah. Aranton Dex autobiography.
Have they written it in the voice of PJ and Duncan? That's incredible.
Because she says I'm from Newcastle.
Have they got a joint autobiography?
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
When did they release that? I thought they fell out.
That's their brand.
No, they're best friends. They love each other.
They don't live together or anything, do they?
I think they live very close to each other.
Then one of them get done for drink driving?
Yep. Yeah. he was addicted to he was addicted to painkillers. Was he?
Oh. That is the opiate. That's an opiate.
That is the opiate.
That is the opiate of rich men, isn't it?
Yeah. Painkillers?
Yeah.
Why have you all rich pain?
Actually, obviously, opiates are a huge problem in like America amongst a lot of poor people as well, but... Usually it's people like, you know, Chandler from Friends, he was on them.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of like famous people get addicted to painkillers for some reason.
Are they in pain?
It feels nice.
Beforehand?
I imagine.
But it feels nice. No.
Have you? Have you been in pain?
Well, it's like heroin,
I've taken a few too many paracetamol, but
that's
like
not the same thing.
That's three.
Not
three the same sometimes thing. You shouldn't
I've taken
many.
Opium.
Have you?
Yeah.
When?
I smoked some opium in a sort of hill.
You can't be in a hill.
In a hillside settlement in Thailand.
You went in it like some kind of
in a hill settlement.
Why were you there?
I was wandering.
Was this a?
I was finding myself.
Did you find yourself?
I'd
hate to think you had found yourself and this was the result. I think you are totally a person who has yet to find themselves.
I think I found myself.
I found myself, but I'm sure this is it, but I really wish I hadn't. Yeah.
What does it mean by finding yourself? What do people mean?
You're
by
comfortable
that?
With yourself, you know who you are, you know what your morals are, you know what you want.
I think that's totally Harriet's business model.
But nobody knows what they want. No one ever knows.
Well, you do if you find yourself. So you don't know. You haven't found yourself
yet.
Oh,
as in like you sort of like get rid of the ego and the mind.
No,
you just don't. All the things you question as a kid, like your appearance and that, you accept.
Yeah, that's the ego and stuff you get rid of.
Oh, is that right?
Is that right?
I don't know.
You stop thinking about what other people think.
Yeah. You got to stop. You got to let it go.
You've got to let it go. Yeah. Stop thinking about what other people think.
What was opium like?
It's pretty boring, really.
Oh, really?
Was anyone with you?
Yeah.
Who?
A few of my friends and a few other people on the walking tour.
Oh, no. You're totally gentrified it by the end.
What?
No, I thought it was something. Like you said you were out in the hilltops.
It was 10 wild, yes. 10 wild adventurers. And a couple of
that had paid 150 quid each
guides.
For a guide, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite nice, actually.
Did it open your mind?
It was such a long time ago. It wasn't hallucinogenic or anything.
How old were you?
21.
Now you raised your eyebrows at me as if I might know the answer to that.
I think I found the photos of it actually the other day. I think I'll pop them out later.
Yeah, lovely.
Pop, why are you going to pop them out?
I'm going to pop them out onto your laps.
Before Instagram, how things were done.
I found an old roll of film the other day. I need to find out what's on that.
Wow.
Find somewhere to process it.
Who did it belong to?
I don't know. It was in my...
Was it delivered in a brown envelope through your door?
It's in my childhood bedroom. So I need to find... I probably took it on holiday at some point.
Oh.
In your old childhood bedroom?
Like, I went back to Bath the other week. And it was in my bedroom there.
Oh.
One of the drawers.
Why? Is your bedroom just as it was?
No. But there's like a chest.
Relic.
Yeah. It's actually been completely...
His mum does tours. Want to see that guy off the Nationwide ad?
Very Shilton. No, but there's like a... There's a chest of drawers which has all my old shit in it from the years. Just trinkets and that.
I've got a whole garage full of mine. Guess one of us was more prolific.
Yeah, but yours has moved into the garage. Yeah. Sorry, how well respected you are in your household.
What have you got in your garage? You got all your old...
I got a statue of Jesus.
Obviously,
yeah.
A little tiny gargoyles, things like that. Teddy bear.
This is all your stuff from when you were a kid.
All your crap's just filling up their garage.
It's actually stuff from when I was an adult, which makes
it your worse. Adult teddy bear.
It's my dad's teddy bear. I don't know what I was going to do with it. I collected all these things when I was a sculptor.
Why?
Because I use sculptures made from found objects.
Can you sculpt something out of marble?
It's not me. You're not really a sculptor if you're just sticking objects together.
Yes, it's a form of sculpting.
I don't think it is.
It is. No. It's probably not really it's assemblage.
Can you...
I'm an assemblager.
You're an assemblager, wow.
The last thing I assembled was a wardrobe for Marnie during lockdown.
They're very difficult
to put
together.
Wow, you are a sculptor.
Yeah.
A real artist.
I signed it afterwards.
Wardrobes are really hard to put together. They're very big.
Yes, very exactly, unwieldy. Harriet.
And they do need two people. You shouldn't have done it on your own.
Well, they need two.
If you have the professional expertise of Richard, you...
I'm a bit... now that we might be going into another lockdown, Marnie's my girlfriend, said I'm just going to run out and buy, because I think we should buy some tins of paint.
Yeah.
Because I know why, because she wants me to paint the house during lockdown, because she uses lockdown to get me to do chores.
Yeah, absolutely.
She wants me to plumb in a dishwasher. She says it like I'm lazy when I say it. I'm not sure
you
about that.
You shouldn't plumb in a dishwasher. You should
she wants me to take
to
out
that.
Part of her kitchen and plumb in a dishwasher. But some things I think, all right, I can. That's like an everyman job. But some things you think, that's not a plumbing.
Does she ever listen to podcasts?
She does good ones.
Will she listen to this?
This is a good one. I give it 5 stars.
Will she listen to it because you're on it?
Yeah, but she will offer some serious feedback
to you.
And
us?
I don't mean just squalling white noise.
What was the? What other podcasts have you been on?
Me and Ross did one, but
this is one you refused to release.
I didn't want to release it because
your artistic integrity.
Yeah.
No, actually, because I didn't think it was edited well enough, and I got a bit paranoid, like everyone, about what, like whether I've said inappropriate things in the past, or whether I did an impression of an Italian. I did an impression of an Italian man.
Let's not talk about that.
No, but I...
Only ever casting? For
yeah, that my Italian...
So
yeah,
because like Ross 2014, Richard had a casting...
As an Italian taxi driver.
I thought it was Italian waiter.
No, the thing was...
Because you did the whole thing with the pepper grinder. which was a bit racist.
The thing was, I couldn't... I got the script the night before, and I'm not an actor, so... But my agent at the time had said, all they want is a really big, broad, silly Italian. And I thought, right, I can't learn these lines.
Never done accents.
And I can't do... And the Italian accent isn't working, so I will just reduce it to... like a big, broad. And the thing I found the easiest to do to help me learn the accent was just, so I just kept saying, why are you disrespecting your mama?
Why are you disrespecting your mama?
But then I got into the audition and that was the only line I had. Why are you disrespecting your mama? Because I thought they just want something like, I was thinking of a TV show, Low, Low.
Yeah.
And but the morning, then the guy said, he said, you know what we want, don't we? And I went in pretty much looking like this and everyone else was just like, if you think I was stereotyping there, everyone else was just in a black leather jacket with black slicked hair and tight denim tread jeans on. And I was like, and I was running looking like this because I'd ran straight from working with the homeless. And he said, you know what we're after, don't you? And I said, yeah, just a big, silly, over-the-top Italian man. Yeah. And he said, no, that is exactly not what we're after. And he said, you've can we see what you've got? And I said, yeah. Why disrespect your mama? And then he said,
wait, are they the lines or you just were saying that?
No, that was the only thing I'd learned because I thought I was learning them at the time and I decided that I was just panicking and thought I'll just sound big and over the top and maybe still say, I thought I kind of had this image of saying, we thought we knew what we needed, but we didn't until now. And then they say, you've got the part. But he didn't. What he said was, that's not what we want. Have you actually learned the script? And I said, no. And he said, do you want me to pass it to you? And you try it out. And I did. And then as I was reading, I just kept thinking, that's Polish, that's Scottish. That's because my accent, I can do so many accents.
The thing is, you did it. You said it to me so many times, like, why you hurt your mama?
It's why you disrespect your mama. Why you hurt your mama.
But why you disrespect your mama. The more you said it, the more Chinese it sounded and the more racist it felt.
Well,
but he's not trying to be Chinese. He's trying to be Italian. No, I know.
That's the problem. The problem is like the more
the point being, that's why the podcast didn't get released.
But you've just told that story again.
Well, cancel the podcast.
Release the podcast,
I'm not
story.
Going down for this. On your head, be it.
Cancel Richard Todd.
The second podcast he ever does. Absolutely not. Same story.
You lured me in. Luckily, there's nothing left in my career to destroy, so that's why I can tell the stories. I'm like one of them. Was it Jamie Foxx when he was like, oh, I've said it now. And then eventually just said, right, I'll just go with it.
No, who's that?
He was the actor who was being critical of the film 1917 because he was
Lawrence Fox, not Jamie Fox. Oh, Lawrence very Fox. Different
oh,
people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a totally different man. But, yeah.
Wait, why did you have a pepper grinder if you were a taxi driver?
No, I think I added that. I threw that.
Well, in fairness,
because he thought that all Italian taxi drivers pop pepper on your pizza. That's why. That's how stereotypical it was.
It's hard to know. The anyway, the person who got the... It was for the film Spy.
Was it? I watched that again the other night. It's actually really funny.
I was meant to be the Peter... What's the surname? Sarah...
You weren't meant to be. Peter you were Sarah never... You were meant to be there.
But... But an accident.
Of course, I was meant to play the part of the Peter Sarah Fenowitz got.
I couldn't do the accent or learn the lines or play the character.
And they said you've done it wrong, but I thought it was. You my know part what? I'll be.
My instinct was complete opposite of what they wanted.
I haven't seen the film, but if I ever watch it, Peter says, can't pronounce it. If Peter says, why are you disrespecting your mama? I'll be so furious.
I'm going to have to watch
sometimes,
it again.
Because
sometimes they just use fresh young acts like me to you know, to pluck ideas from.
Fucking hell. What did you do for your 40th?
I remember he had a bad back and he had to lie down all day.
Oh, no.
I did have a bad... I'd slipped a disc. The,
I remember that. Fucking hell,
The funniest thing about when I first slipped a disc was... I mean, and the thing that made me feel like it was some kind of karma was on the morning I'd been doing a silly impression of the Elephant Man.
No, keep going. Tell them what you did for your 40th birthday.
Pretty current impression.
Another really offensive impression of a disabled man. What is a disabled man?
It wasn't actually. I don't know why. Anyway, but as I was hoovering the flat later that day, I slipped a disc in my back. The thing that made it funny to me was I fell over in the doorway between the kitchen and the living room. It just tickled me because part of my body was screaming. It was in the obviously the image doesn't carry very well. It just amuses me that I was straddling two rooms. It made. Because
oh, this is your Henry Hoover bit.
No, it's not. It's because no, but
it's another weird. Time that's, you fell.
And then you were on the floor. And
then
was staring.
My girlfriend at the time came in because she heard me screaming.
Yeah.
Burst out laughing and then ran back to the bedroom, got her camera and started photographing me. This is the modern world. And the worst bit, it's quite a funny time, horrible funny. I couldn't help laughing all the time, but the thing was, whenever I laughed, like I literally couldn't stand up. It got to a point where, for the first, all right, Sunil, I've never seen.
Don't reference that.
I've never seen the top horse do that.
It wasn't. That's not a bored yawn. That was a genuine. That was something not.
Just a genuine yawn.
That was a genuine yawn.
The anyway, like, so I didn't know. I kept the only way to stop the pain was to throw myself on the ground, at one point I literally couldn't stand. But I kept trying to stand up, and at one point I stood up. My girlfriend helped me stand up. And I was holding a chair, but then there was a twinge in my back. And the pain was so much that I farted. And the fart made me laugh. And the laugh made another twinge of pain. And then the pain made me fart. And I got I got trapped in a perpetual loop of laughing, farting, and screaming. which...
That's not even the only story that I know about you falling and farting as well.
But at least that one involves tears, so it is somewhat on theme.
Tell the story of when you were sitting in Edinburgh.
Yeah, but this is a story. He's had to watch me tell this story on stage so many times.
I cried when I went to see
his Edinburgh show.
5 years after it happened.
Finished the show by
pointing him out.
Pointing me out in the audience and telling this story.
To be fair, I did give him and his girlfriend free tickets, so I was allowed to. We were living together in Edinburgh.
That was the year when we did the show together, so what?
Yeah, 2013?
Yeah.
And Richard was pottering around the kitchen. I was at the kitchen table. He was just wandering around in these tiny little shorts, like a pair of little Umbros that cut off just underneath the balls, basically. And I think I don't know whether you just... showing off.
You have quite a manic energy, so he moves he bounces from wall to wall.
And I think he ran across the room to go to the door because the doorbell had rung or something, but he tripped over a laptop cable, banged into the wall, slid down it, and then did a little fart. And it was one of the most wonderful things I've ever seen. But he does fart. He does have uncontrolled farting.
That is a total lie. Both of those farts were to do with pain.
Yeah.
This is a new topic we haven't discovered. People that
I'm just The thing is, I've told that story so much, it's been broken down into bits, but now I've put it all together in my head, and that image, it's very funny.
Me and Kate, when we heard it, we both cried, like, from laughing so much. It's brought a lot of people a lot of joy.
If you imagine that, at speed, running into a wall, shocking himself that he's tripped over something, running into a wall, being still surprised, hitting the floor, and then farting out of fear, then that is quite funny.
That was not
out of
fart
shock, farting
fear.
Out of shock. He farted out of shock.
It was fear. It was fear.
I think it's just because my body, my person is innately funny. At the time, my mouth was so tight against the wall, I couldn't actually say something. So no, my bottom said, I'll handle this. Don't worry.
I think if someone else, if there was someone else who did those same actions, it would have been quite horrifying. But with him, it's quite funny. Like if you'd done it, it would just be like, no, that'd be quite funny. It'd be funny if you fell over and farted. But if, you know, if it's someone like
I think
serious,
it's like Rich's turn, really... body like turns against him. It's like even at your most like vulnerable moment, your body is still like, this isn't the most humiliating thing.
What's next? What else is on the menu?
You think you're down? We're going to fuck with
that,
you more.
That could be true. yes, I find my, like, I think we might get into crying. Do you introduce crying?
Well, we don't have to. We just no, kind of more ask you, like, crying. Are you quite emotional?
Well, when we get... I'm not, but...
Well, we're doing it now.
We're doing it right now, Rich. We do what we want, you know?
I was just going to... I'll tell you this, because just in terms of my body, like, kind of thinking, is this humiliating enough? Because there was this time in Glasgow, right? And I think that the way I walk is slightly strange, because I slip a lot.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm very flat-footed or something. I slide a lot on surfaces that no one else slips on. Yeah. Right?
It's your shoes. That's shoe-related. You need to get shoes with tread.
Because I've had so many different shoes. And one time I lived on a hill. And to get to my work, I had to ascend the hill. But it was really frosty outside. And the roads and pavement were totally iced over. And because of the way I walk, I couldn't go up the hill. I could only slide backwards down it. And I was trying to cross the road. And I just started sliding backwards down the hill. Everyone else was just walking past me. And it's
such a great reason not to be able to get to work. I'm sorry. I keep sliding down the hill.
Did you fart?
I didn't have need that time.
But this do you remember when you got the hiccups so bad that you had to cancel all your gigs because you couldn't stop hiccuping?
I had the hiccups once that's the time I did cry, actually. That was I got the hiccups had the hiccups for 4 days once. And
you go to sleep and wake up and stuff.
Glasgow.
You wouldn't hiccup while you're asleep.
I had the hiccups for four days, and by the end, that was when my girlfriend at the time, different one to the one who helped me, was caught
Thanks
in the fart
clarifying.
Loop.
It's a different girlfriend to the one that caught him in a fart loop.
Anyway. Yeah. the point is, I can't remember what the start. What was?
So you had hiccups for 4 days.
Oh yeah, and the thing is with hiccups is, it's quite hard to describe how upset you are.
I remember
because
you were exhausted.
Everyone keeps laughing at you. And by the end, I was phoning my girlfriend lived in Newcastle at the time, and I lived in Glasgow, and I was phoning her, crying on the phone, and she was just laughing and saying, "Stop being so stupid." But I'd hiccuped for 4 days. it was like the more it becomes painful, and also sad.
Yeah,
because every time you talk to someone, you go,
"Oh God!"
And then
it's very undermining.
So exactly. How did you stop them? Was there that something you did?
Farted. I didn't. That's my body's way of saying, if you're not letting me out that, if you're not letting me be funny out that way, I'm coming out this way. I can't remember. Just grew up, I guess.
You just changed as a person.
I think you drank water backwards.
What?
I told you to do it and then you did it.
Harry,
I think I cured it.
Was a different time. That was your you cured a far less severe bout of hiccups.
How long are the hiccups?
You were tired and you were cancelling gigs and you were having to say, I'm sorry, I can't the hiccups.
How many days did you had it for when you solved it, Harry?
Two days.
Yeah, but not 4 days.
Yeah, but 2 days is still a very long time to have hiccups.
Really long time.
Yeah, I think it's something to do with, what's it to do with your something?
I don't know anyone else. Part of your internal thing goes the wrong way around. I think it's psychological.
And you have to puff it back out again. I think I'm tempted to say it's your sarcophagus, but I think that's something they bury mummies in.
What? He's putting it on, you think he's faking it.
I think it's just something that your body does, no one knows why.
I don't think so.
Why do people have hiccups?
Did you say how or why?
Why?
Good.
There's often no obvious reason, says the NHS.
The Mayo Clinic
says anxiety, stress, and excitement.
Yeah, there we go. That is a perfect description of your personality.
That is a description of Richard Todd. A ball of anxiety, stress, and excitement. In some ways,
the only time I'm totally complete is when I've got hiccups. Because that's like my whole body and coming together.
It was your worst times and your happiest times.
Because I am a lot of times anxious, excited.
Do you get emotional though?
No, I actually did get emotional quite recently. And I started crying whilst I was telling a story.
Oh.
I think it'll make you cry.
Is it really sad?
I don't know, I think Sunil will be ambivalent to it.
Go on, Ali.
Well, that's what we want to do, we want to try and make Sunil feel this is the most recent time I cried. Right, I was trying, in your childhood that was the last time you cried?
No, this is like, you remembered your childhood, okay. This is when
the exam results were coming out and all the kids were getting like there was that big complaint over the grades because they weren't going anyway, some people were getting grades that they felt were far beneath them, right? And this guy was driving home, right? He said he saw his son just sitting on a step on the side of a street crying. And he said to his son, what's wrong? What's up? And he said, it's all gone wrong, Dad. I fucked it all up. And the thing was, him and his son is a single father, and they just lived in a council flat. And his dad had just worked, and they put everything towards his son's education because they'd planned for both their futures, but their son would get like a good job and be well educated. And his son was just crying on the street, and he said, he was saying, I fucked everything up for his dad. And his dad had to say, you bloody idiot. No, he didn't. But then his dad started crying on the radio, and when I was trying to tell the story, I started crying, and
that's it.
Yeah.
How did he fuck it up, though?
Because the predicted results they gave him were so low, he couldn't get the education he wanted.
So it is just genuinely a really sad story.
Yes.
But why did it bring back memories of your childhood?
No, it didn't.
It didn't. It had nothing to do with his childhood, he said. No.
I said this has the opposite of what you
said. It's nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. But when I got my exam results, no, my parents hadn't pinned their futures on me. they forgot that they quit doing that.
Our
well
whole future
early.
Lies with this assembler of objects.
You're talking about a snivelling little wretch as a child. There was three others. I've got two sisters and a brother, so they weren't going to pin the horse.
No, I wouldn't pin my.
I don't think that's that sad a story.
It's really so sad. That little boy,
the pressure. He felt the pressure for his dad.
I think what's sad is that boy had that pressure.
Yeah. Yes.
But I don't think it's sad that he felt. I think it's bad.
It wasn't his fault. It's circumstance.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, circumstances. But
anyway, I guess now because then they redid all the results. So I think they'd be fine.
They just gave everyone really good results.
Yeah, I know, to solve the problem.
But if mine had gone on my predicted results, were so bad that I called my mum when I got my results and said, I passed them all. And she went, you failed them all. I'm so sorry. Like, she was so prepared that I was going to fail them all. And she said, don't worry, we'll work it out. And I was like, no, I passed them all. And she went, oh, that's great.
What did you pass well? I can't think you're quite
not that well. I didn't do any work at all. Sunil's and I am, yeah.
No, I didn't do very well.
Did you not?
In maybe which exams? GCSEs.
Yeah.
I got like 5 A's, 4 B's.
Oh, that is quite well.
That's quite well. Like Rich most... is from a different generation, though. So
they were harder when
I
was.
They only had O levels.
They were harder. They were really harder.
They were easier because people were working in the mines and stuff. And so they were chimney sweeps. They sent children. Well. Yeah.
They didn't even have calculators, had an abacus. And
are you serious?
Fingers.
Oh.
We could use your fingers if you wanted
to count.
What, to count?
Pre-calculator. That was the original calculator. Just count on your fingers. Are you using your fingers? You're cheating in this. It's a no-finger exam. Thank you.
I'll tell you a time I cried. Okay. Only because
right, here we go.
It's only because, right? It was this is a harrowing story.
It's because we said nothing too sad. Keep it upbeat.
I want the sad ones.
No,
this
we want
good.
It to be funny. It's meant to be a fun. Really
it
sad.
Could be
oh, God.
Funny.
Okay.
Look, I'll tell the story. Okay. You put the sad.
All right, well,
on
let's
it.
Crack on. With
you
it.
Were both professional comedians.
Just get started with it. Yeah, just tell the story.
Professional, semi-professional. Artistic integrity.
Amateur. Little league.
Little league, Todd. That's why I'm on the small chair.
Tell your story.
Just do this.
This was a story. This is a story.
I don't think we're going to get to do it.
We are.
We had to do the other episodes before Richard got here because we knew it would be on. Yeah.
But anyway, right, one time at school, we were PE being cancelled, right?
Right.
So we did music instead.
Oh.
Right? It was a weird thing that sometimes do. I don't know why. The teacher was trying to get everyone to sing some song, right? I can't remember. But the boy behind me kept knocking me on the shoulder, so I turned around to see what he wanted. The music teacher saw me do this and said, Todd, you get up here. And then for half an hour, made me sing solo in front of the class.
Half an hour?
Just kept saying, do it again.
What song?
Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Are you serious? Half an hour of you singing Michael Jackson's Beat It. That's nonsense. Come on.
I can't remember what
this
is.
This is a made-up memory. Michael this isn't true.
That wasn't out when you were at school either.
You know what it was? It was that old Joe Laducci song, Shut Up Your Face, and that's where... That's where I got my That's where I got my first.
Wasn't a sad story at
okay,
all.
That's not a true what? Story.
Oh no,
it's not
but
a sad story.
He's got one.
After the lesson, I burst out crying.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Right.
So then you're
Harry,
crying
do
and
Harry, you know, I can't do your story.
The thing was when I sat back down on my seat, all the other kids shout encore and they were flowing little origami flowers on the stage.
This is a dream. This is
no,
a dream.
Fever
this
dream. Is a
but it was all right, but it's weird having some kids comfort you about your performance. Richard, it wasn't that bad. It might be the thing that made me a comedian.
Oh, God. Oh, please.
Okay, this is the part of the podcast where I say a sad story to try and make Sunil feel something.
And Richard.
Okay, and
well,
Richard,
I've
maybe.
Done two you've got talkers.
Yeah, but
we,
they
we
didn't
have,
make me feel anything.
You've made him feel rage.
Worse than the story she tells.
No, this is a good story, okay?
All right.
Rod Stewart discovered he had a daughter after his pal recognised her big nose.
How is that a sad story?
It is sad because, listen to it. The rocker was told by bandmates. So, Rod Stewart found out he had a daughter only after she showed up at a recording studio one random day. It's just a random day. The rocker was told by bandmates that the girl had strikingly similar features to him, including similar dimples and a big nose. So, she turned up and she asked to meet him. And then he said, she's got a distinctive hooter. And then he discovered...
He did not say
no,
that.
No, his friend said it.
I think Rod Stewart might say that. Isn't he?
Well, he wouldn't say that could be my daughter. She's got a big hooter.
He's Scottish.
Jim said it. Who's Jim?
His mate.
Jim Cregan, the guitarist, said
Jim.
It.
Yeah, Jim. You know his mate. Who's Jim? Sunil. His mate. Like your mate, pal of Rod Stewart and his friends.
His bandmate. He said his bandmate.
All right.
Rod Stewart's biggest fan in the corner. Rod then discovered she was the product of an affair he had when he was an 18-year-old starting out in the music business, and he mentioned the affair in his hit song, Maggie May. So we were in the same story again, and this girl, and she wants to come in, and they go, go and have a look, will you? I don't know anything about this. So he goes out, and she's got a massive hooter. It's just the same thing again. I take one look at her, and I think, oh, God, okay, so I go back in the room and I say, to break it to you, mate. Either she's had plastic surgery, or she's a dead ringer. It turned out it was a Maggie May story. The daughter from that relationship was adopted. They were only kids. Maggie, she wasn't really a Maggie, of course. And Rod was just 18, so they put this girl up for adoption. And at 21, she was allowed to find out who her father was. And then it was Rod Stewart. And then everyone said she had a big nose. What
a horrible...
That's so sad.
Who's
the
sad
one? She's just found
her
dad, and everyone's like, look at that nose.
It's a sad... The story of sad for the girl.
I think it's sad for everybody.
Rod Stewart, right? Whenever he goes on tour around the world, he books two hotel rooms. One for him and one for his model railway.
That is
I thought you were going to say his model wife. I don't know why.
He does have a model wife and a model railway.
Yeah, he spends his time just painting little models.
Absolute waste of time.
But what? But he's got in the same hotel, I take it.
Yeah, yeah. He's got one of the biggest, like, best model railways in the world.
So he doesn't book a room for his daughter, that he doesn't. He just...
But he takes his rail model railway on tour. I kind of don't think it can be that good if you can carry it around.
The bits of it that he's working on at the time, like painting.
But that's that big.
Yeah, but he needs a whole room.
How big is model
rail?
Unless he sits in it, it's a really big car, so he drives around.
Don't ask me, it's in the news.
Is it not in the news at the moment?
Not in the news.
Rod Stewart Model Railway Hotel.
Model Railway Hotel.
But what about his daughter with the big nose?
Rod Stewart Model Railways.
I think Sunil's current search answers.
I am right. Rod Stewart reveals his epic model railway city. Oh my.
Why wouldn't you show us? Why are you sending it away?
I've got to do face rec.
Oh, yeah. Didn't work. Didn't recognise your
no,
face.
I didn't recognise. Yeah, I'm just looking at a video of it.
Wow. Okay.
This is good. This is good for the listeners. Must be.
Well, you should take my word for it. Rod Stewart has got a model railway.
What would you do if a girl turned up, so right now, and then she knocked at the door, and then we went out and went, she's hiccuping and farting at the same time? It's got to be Richard's daughter. It could only be Richard's daughter.
When did I have her?
21 years
she's
ago.
She's 21, so 21 years ago.
I'm just trying to decide.
It's possible.
Who I've been going out with at the time.
We're not yet. There's not really. A,
I don't know,
there's not really
there. No, she's got your features.
You're fine, it's fine.
Look,
don't worry, no panic.
Look, if you pull that curtain back and the girl comes in hiccuping, farting and laughing, I'd be so ashamed. The
of your own daughter.
No, why would you be ashamed? That's what you do.
I don't do it on a daily basis. It's not my morning workout. What did Rod do? That's the question. Did he say, I'll come on back to the hotel room? You can sleep on my railway.
I don't know. It doesn't really say, but this was a long time ago. And the thing was, she was a bit annoying about it. And a newspaper found out and they flew her to America. And then a paparazzi sat in the bushes waiting to take a picture of the reunion. And Rod was very grumpy with her for doing that.
He was grumpy.
Yeah,
he
was
To be fair,
I don't think they know what they're writing about.
I don't think Rod really... It is a sad story for her in a way.
Yeah,
but then maybe
so.
She was just trying to exploit it because she's got foster
she's
parents.
She's not trying to exploit it.
Why?
Her and a big hooter.
She did write... She did travel to America with a paparazzi in a bush.
Are you just on her side because she's got a big nose?
What is that supposed to mean?
Harriet! Was that girl you?
On that note...
On that note, we've come to the end of the episode. We all know I'm Rod Stewart's daughter now. The secret is out at last.
Make sure you follow Richard on Instagram. He's doing the drawings.
Yeah, I'm doing the drawings.
What's your Instagram handle?
Richard Todd Todd.
Richard Todd Todd. You can find him there. Very good drawings. Please share and subscribe the podcast. Join us on Patreon. It's very fun and it will keep this podcast going if you want to give us a little bit of support. And there's lots of extra bonus content, including us doing a mood board.
Vision board.
Vision board is what we want for our futures.
Yeah. It's absurd.
Both of them are absolutely bleak. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Goodbye.